Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Trail Culture. I'm your host, Em Robertson, and I'm so stoked that you're tuning in. This is our final episode coming from the Mutt locker room. Such a fun time chatting to some of the sport's favorite humans, hearing where they've been at, how they managed to get to toe the start line, and then some of the war stories after the race. This episode is dedicated to a handful of the heroes who ran the Mutt Miler. It is such a privilege to hear from them, to hear their accounts and watch them relive some of these just incredible memories. I am in awe of what these amazing humans do. I hope that you enjoy this episode and that you've enjoyed this series. First up, we have Nicolette Griffion, the absolute woman of the match, human of the weekend. She was first place in the Mutt by UTMB 100 miler, fourth overall in an incredibly stacked field, and she did all of this just 4 weeks after racing and winning Ultra Trail Drakensberg's 100 miler. She is humble, talented, an incredible human being, and I'm so thankful that she joined us to share a little bit of her story. She's up first, followed by three more of the sport's favorites. I hope you guys enjoy the episode. Cool. Guys, I'm here with Nicolette Griffion. She has managed to have a sleep and hopefully a little bit of a rest since smashing the Mutt Miler yesterday. She had a super strong run. It was amazing to just be inspired by her performance. And it was a back-to-back for those who don't know. She, a couple of weeks ago, won the Ultra Trail Drakensberg 100 Miler. And I'm just excited to hear a little bit about that journey. But Nicolette, welcome. Thanks for being here. How are you feeling?
Yeah, feeling a little bit stiff and sore, but not too bad.
I actually said to her on the walk over here, one day if I run 100 miles, I hope to be walking like her. She looks very put together for somebody who's just run so far. Nicolette, can you, before we dive into yesterday's route and a little bit of how that was, can you chat to us about just UTD and making the decision to run George? And just like the sensations in your body and how you kind of felt like, cool, I can make the call and go for another big dance in the mountains.
Yeah, so UTD was my A race, and that's what I kind of prepped for. Mutt was not really on the cards. At UTD, I struggled a bit with altitude, which is unusual for me because I actually spent quite a bit of time in the mountains, or have in the past. I think that just, it set me back a little bit on the race. And so I ended up being a bit maybe more conservative and a bit slower than I would have. And when I finished, I thought maybe I could, you know, put out a bigger effort.
Nice.
But it was, yes, it was a bit of a question mark as to how my body would hold up for another 100 milers, a miler. But decided to go for it and just come and explore and experience the Otanequa Mountains, as I haven't really run here much.
Wow.
And yeah, it was really worthwhile. It was a beautiful route.
Was there kind of going into it, did you have little like benchmarks or things in your mind where you were like, okay, if I feel like this, then I can kind of just keep moving forward? Was there anything that you were expecting, you know, if my body's not showing up, like, just, I'm trying to understand, like, to explain to someone what it is to do a miler and then to do another one so many weeks later. I feel like your body is just amazing. So I guess that's what I'm trying to like unpack and understand, your thought process behind making decisions based on where your body's at.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously I knew there would be some deep fatigue in my muscles, and when that would show up during Mutt was unknown. But you're aware of that going into it, so you just need to kind of prepare yourself mentally that it might hurt a little bit more and make a decision, you know, what sort of pain or injury are you not prepared to push through would be long-term damage, and what, you know, is actually just part of a 100 miler anyway. And
yes,
you know, it would be easy to go like, oh, at 40Ks my legs are toast, it must be because of UTD. But also to prepare yourself beforehand and remember that every 100 miler has highs and lows, and it's not necessarily that you did another one 4 weeks back.
Yeah, it's just this one that you're currently doing.
It's just another 100 miles. Yeah.
And another 100 miles, crazy. And Nicolette, can you walk us through a bit of like the of yesterday, how it went, how you paced it in the beginning. I mean, for those who don't know, the Mud Miler starts by with a VK, which is next level. And yeah, did you start off kind of quite conservatively? Did you have a strategy in mind? And then running, I mean, like the strength of your run, we had Admire here yesterday and he said that you pushed him to run a better race. He was like, you were incredibly strong and you guys had a moment at an aid station and he saw your kind of like strength of will and like where you were at and it calmed him down and pushed him to run hard. So yeah, just kind of walk us through how your day unfolded.
Yeah, so I mean, I wanted to start quite conservatively and just see how everything felt. And I did that on the first climb. And yeah, in contrast to UTD, I actually started feeling quite good. I think there's more oxygen down here in the ocean. And so I started to pick up the pace a little bit from the beginning already and managed to open a gap up on the ladies behind me. And once I had that, I thought I just need to maintain. And that's what I did. I ran pretty comfortably within myself for most of the race. And it only really got tough on the second day when it got hot.
Yes.
And we hit the back end and those climbs, and it was really just a mental game to endure everything that was hurting at that point.
Yeah. And I know it seemed from the tracker, it's always hard to know what's happening on the field, but it looked like you and Pierre were running together at a stage. Did you guys share some kilometers on this race?
We did. Pierre came into Oakhurst aid station just before I left. Nice. And I said to him, well, we'll see you just now on the trail. And it was a little bit longer than I think either of us expected, but he did catch me just before the Bach Plus aid station.
Okay.
And then we were together for probably about 10 kilometers or so.
So nice.
And then, yeah, he went ahead. He was definitely stronger. He paced a really good race.
Yeah. That's so cool just to like have kind of some shared moments and enjoy the mountains together. I'm sure that's something that you guys love to do.
Especially when, you know, on a 100-miler, you're often alone for very many hours. And I hadn't run with anyone. So it was it was nice to have some company and conversation for a short period.
Just a little bit. And running like through the night and spending most of the time alone, Nicolette, where does your mind kind of go when you've kind of that whole night stretched out in front of you, you're navigating the trails? Is it empty? Are you thinking about stuff? Are you listening to music? What's your...
Yeah, I like to save my music for when it gets a bit more challenging during the night and it's quiet. It does help to pass the time. So I kind of waited until the De Kop aid station where the trail flattens out and not so technical. And then, yeah, had some music for company most of the night.
Amazing. And I mean, fourth overall in such a stacked field, first woman, such a strong run. It's really just incredible. And you took 4.5 hours off of the course record. I think you've set up a difficult record for the next person to break. Super, super strong run and just really inspiring to see that you can go UTD, make the call to race again and kind of push through. And the other thing that I saw was you chatting and meeting one of your athletes in the race village. I think it was on Thursday. So that's just really cool for me to see that you are like present for yourself and your race and other people. But did you, pressure leading up to the race, like how are you feeling just with juggling all the things, thinking about your own run? You've got athletes who are also out on the course. How do you manage that juggle?
Yeah, I think, look, the week before the race is always a little bit challenging because athletes, they need, you know, to have calls and chats and trying to help them finalize their nutrition and their race plans. And at the same time, you're trying to manage your own stressors.
Yeah.
But it's such a privilege to have the experience that I have in trail running and be able to share that with others and try to guide them through the highs and lows of, you know, racing and events. And so, yeah, I really enjoy it. I enjoy coaching and, you know, with our coaching being predominantly online, it's always a good opportunity to catch up with athletes and meet them and be able to put a name to a face.
Yes,
Best. From a race.
Nicolette, you are really inspiring me. I think, I'm stoked about your performance. I hope that you can take time to reflect in the next week and really just like celebrate the victory. I know that you guys are heading home just now. We managed to get you in here before you fly, but how does the next period look for you? How are you going to just be recovering? Are you already looking ahead to what's next? Or Admire told me yesterday he just wants to sleep for 5 weeks and then he'll think about what's next. So where are you at in terms of that?
I don't think I'll sleep for that long, but I do have a bicycle. Nice. So I think some cross training is definitely on the cards, and I'll take a few weeks to make any decisions about the next run on the calendar.
Big congrats, Nicolette. Well done again. And thanks for just sharing a little bit of your story with us.
Thank you so much.
It's so nice to sit opposite Pierre, actually just down the road from where I first met him, which was on the Otter Trail, working in his trail crew. And this guy is a guide, a pilot, a mountain athlete. He is multi-talented and I always love chatting to him. Pierre, it's really nice to see you. Well done on your amazing run yesterday.
Thanks so much. Well, try to keep my words a bit shorter than the last time we spoke. was like almost a multi-episode one. It's great to be chatting to you again.
Pierre, how are you feeling? I mean, third in the mud, miler, amazing, amazing run. I think Nicolette mentioned it just before you paced a really good race. You were very chilled when I bumped into you in the race village earlier this week. I'm just so amazed at like what you guys managed to kind of execute with all the different pressures coming from different angles. So how are you doing?
I guess going into it, it's easy to defer any pressure towards any of the athletes I work with that's doing it, and also the spotlight is mostly on Nicolette, so I kind of, people just see me that a lot of time the supporter in it, so I don't get the same, I think, pre-race pressures. And then during the race, I wish I could say I paced it consciously in such a good way, but my legs were just shot coming off the peak.
Okay.
Off down Craddock Peak, we're not used to such long descents.
Yes.
And even in the Berg, you have a long descent, but the trail is just not runnable. Mm. So if I'm guiding or hiking or fast packing, it's a lot of times bundubashing down a pass. So you're not moving at the same pace. Where here, it's all runnable. So my quads were just completely blown and had to pull back completely. I was experiencing some cramps at about 12 or 13 Ks. I just focused then on myself, fuel and eat. That's the only two things. And that is actually just the only priority of a 100-miler. It's just fuel and eat and don't go too fast.
Yeah, that's crazy. And just keep moving forward. But problem solving. So Pierre, you're so down, you were aware of what's happening. You're feeling, you're eating, you're thinking. How long does it take for kind of that sensation to pass? Because I feel like there's this tension where you're okay, has it passed? Let me push. Okay, the legs are not quite ready. Then you pull back again.
No, luckily, I also love running at night. Nice. Cooler temperatures, nighttime. I'm aware of where other people also move slowly and where they struggle. A lot of people don't like being alone in the forest.
Yeah.
Or, they have a lot of more anxiety over running at night, where I've done a lot at night. So I really love it. I know my body responds well to it. So I just kept fueling and I didn't have to increase my pace ever, but I was picking people up.
Okay.
So that's what happens.
Moving steadily.
Because you can also analyze it, no one should be going out to that Meyer and Andrea. None of us on that start line was strong enough, I think. So in my mind, I kept on telling me because I just couldn't go harder. I just told myself, if they're stronger and faster than you, they're stronger and faster than you. You're not going to catch them.
Yeah.
But at least you have the opportunity to go past others. Maybe they went too hard. Maybe they didn't eat or fuel as well.
Yeah.
So 100 milers, a lot of times, is just about durability. It's if you can look after yourself long enough. It's not like a 40K. 40K, you need to be at the front. You need to go hard. You can't make it up.
Yeah.
Where we all know what happens in the last 20 to 30 Ks in a 100 miler.
Anything can happen. It's literally, and there's so much time. I think that's, and again, that's the tension you're trying to hold. There is time, but you also want to be deliberate with your decisions and make moves when you can. And when you feel good, run it out.
And it's a lot ego comes to play and, I feel I should be doing better. Or what is the expectations? And if it's all of that, where you kind of just have the confidence to go, just sit back and wait until your legs come. Because by Dikkop there, I started feeling.
Yeah.
Harold Wines, wasn't in a great space.
Yeah.
Going out there. Luckily, the aid stations were phenomenal.
Great.
It was really, really, Zane and his team really did a great job there. And then, here by Dikkop, my legs started coming around. And then I could run quite nicely the last, And then it's the flat section now. So if you're walking on the flat, you lose a lot more time than if you're walking on a hill.
Yeah.
So don't waste time when it's flat.
Yeah.
So try to make, and Admire also said, like, try to make the night as beneficial as possible. Like, yes, you can push at night.
Yeah.
So I know the next day was going to be rough. Oh.
And I mean, both you and Nicolette were racing, so it's like not your usual crew. Did you guys have people crewing you, or were you just kind of managing yourself, relying on the aid stations?
So we both prefer actually to not have crew.
Okay.
It just takes a lot of stress off. Like, I live in constant state of guilt. So if I feel I'm now moving too slow today and I'm going to be an hour late and this poor person has waited for me, then that actually creates a lot of anxiety in me.
Yes.
So I prefer it if I don't think there's anyone waiting for me. And when you get in there, someone is bound to help you.
Yeah.
Like, someone will go, hey, can I help you? And that kind of gratitude you have towards them then is really phenomenal. Like, you're going to go, wow, you know, they don't have to do this.
Yeah,
they're still waiting for their runner. So actually, Nikki Karamba, she was crewing Jess, and she's also part of the Suunto team. And Admire and myself and Nicolette are all part of the Suunto team that's representing here. So I got in there and she called me out and she's like, what can I do for you? And
oh, amazing.
At every kind of aid station. And I don't know, she spoke a few words of encouragement into me there by the Dikkop aid station, actually.
Nice.
So, no, she was phenomenal. Like, it does help when, a person just say, like, hey, can I help you?
That's so cool. Mm. There's something, I think, I mean, every race has its community, but like seeing the George crew really pull together. I was telling Zane when I interviewed him earlier this week, I was in the pharmacy picking up electrolytes earlier, and like all the staff were like, are you here for George Mutz? Like, yeah, we're working, but we're going to come and support. And I was like, that is so cool. And I feel like Drakensberg's the same. The whole town like comes out to show support. So I'm really glad that you had like a cool experience like that. And Pia, chat to us a little bit, like, training coming in. I think you mentioned to me you were guiding like over the UTD weekend or just before. So that wasn't on the cards. But yeah, how much time have you been in the mountains, not like running, but guiding? And what has that weight been just training wise?
Yeah, like, so Matt was going to be my, because I realized that that guiding trip was falling over UTD. So that's why I didn't, otherwise I probably would have done UTD, which has actually been very nice because I've done UTD twice, the 100 mile and around the 100K as well there. So I should probably not go back again, you know, but it is I love what Stu and them are doing there now and what Spurgeon has started there. And, but it's important to do different races. So when I saw that wasn't happening, I decided, like, well, let's come run in Mata. I've never run the Otaniquas, so I'd love to see it.
Yeah.
And my training December to Feb, March was really good because I was quite specific. And then I went through a rough patch a bit and where I was supposed to have my key block.
Yes.
I might have kind of renewed my flying license. And
yes, you mentioned you were in Europe.
I had to go to Germany quickly. And I was just studying. So that was like key assessment or like blocks. And then the guiding trip. The guiding is always nice. I prefer to have it fall in my taper. Because that means I can get out of the city. I can in a very stress-free environment and just move every day because it's hiking. So it's movement, but it doesn't tie you out to the same limit as like training.
Yeah.
But so there I kind of didn't get the – so I didn't go into Matt with a lot of confidence from my body, let's put it that way. And I think that helped with my pacing.
Okay.
If you know you're not as strong as you would like to have been, then you just rely on the foundation you have. Like, look, we run every day. Like, we just enjoy running. So we've got years of running to – and I think a lot of runners should – try to reflect on that, like, how much for how long have you been running? And you don't always need to squeeze out this last minute intense training that's usually going to put you in a state of fatigue or overtraining. You know, you do need to train hard, but if you've been consistent for years, then don't put that pressure on yourself close to a race to go do this magic session. Like, it sometimes just takes you over the edge.
That's amazing, Pierre, that discipline to be like, I could, but I'm not going to, and kind of just
approach it. It helps to have Nicolette because I'll come up with a plan. I want to go do this session. And she's like, no, that's just true.
I just love, you guys are so chilled, Pia, and I, like, you just really love the mountains. I think that's something that I enjoy watching you guys be stoked to have an adventure. And Pia, I mean, you're someone who knows a lot about like the terrain, like through a guide's eyes, if I can say that. And did you have like a favorite section, or as you were exploring, what was like blowing your mind in terms of the route?
That little Dragon Ridge, Dragon's Back Ridge, on because I hit that at about just like half hour before sunset.
Wow.
And that like really technical, and that's like stuff I love. Like I love just scrambling down. And so for me, that was beautiful and traversing that ridgeline into the sunset. So that must have been from a scenery point of view. It was really, really cool. But a surprise was kind of, I thought the De Kop to Wilderness was just going to be the most boring section ever. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's flat. It's, when you get there, it's like these beautiful indigenous forests. Like I never knew there was forests like along that river, and you climb.
Yes.
Climb. I wasn't too happy about the climb, but it was a beautiful, it was beautiful, like the indigenous forest. And it was, George got a lot to give.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think just we get glimpses through like the talented kind of videography and photography team who's out there. But I just, I think we all have to just do it one day if you want to see it, because it's impossible to capture all of it just by chatting or watching videos. But Pia, what does the next like period look like for you recovery wise? How long will it take you to feel kind of normal again after a miler effort?
I feel pretty normal now. No, I'm not.
Amazing.
No, like my legs are sore. I feel like how I'm supposed to feel. Like it's all about managing expectations, I think. Like I didn't expect to feel great today.
Yeah.
But I feel better than I thought I would feel.
Nice.
I don't race that much, you know, if this is like only my like third mile. Like I don't plan that far ahead either.
Yeah.
I guess next up is just setting up the Otto stuff again.
Yes.
So that's already like on my mind. And then I always like Skyrun, UTCT. Like I struggle to stay away from Skyrun. It's just such a beautiful race.
Yeah.
So maybe I do Skyrun and UTCT. That'll be quite a cool
nice little back-to-back
experiment.
Yeah. I love the experiment. That's so cool. Yeah, well done. It's always nice chatting to you. I hope that you continue to like feel good, recover well, and I will hopefully see you at Otter.
Perfect.
Great.
Thanks for the chat.
Guys, this is Ladelia Kombrink sitting opposite me, our second lady in the Mutt Miler, in a very exciting finish. I met Ladelia actually on the Otter Trail as well, same place where I met Pia. And we were in the same trail crew last year and shared a house. And I got to hear a little bit of her inspirational story. And I'd also actually watched her race at the Maxi Race. But she is a mom, a George local, the whole community was losing their mind when she ran over the finish line yesterday. Ladelia, welcome. How are you doing?
Thank you so much, Em. It's a privilege to be here. And much better than yesterday. Nothing that a night's sleep can't fix.
Did you manage to sleep last night? I'm always fascinated. I mean, between the sugary gels and the stoke of the day, did you actually manage to sleep?
Yeah, we always laugh. My husband, he's like, I go into a control alt delete moment, and then the blood sugar falls, and then when everything has settled, I go to sleep. And then 4 o'clock every single time after a race, 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm wide awake. And then we have share our stories of the day from his side, from my side. And then we go back to a snooze, and then we get up, and then we're ready for the day. Yeah.
That's amazing. I think the crew also, they have their perspective and their stories, and it's being crewing for someone on a miler or any distance is a whole work in itself.
Yeah. I think people forget about that and the important part crew plays with a runner.
Yeah.
And they see you for 3 minutes and they must wait 3 hours. So you do all the work, but for them it's really intense sitting and waiting, seeing,
checking
all the time. They also awake all the time, so they're just as tired, on a different level.
It's amazing. And I know having your husband there meant a lot, and he is such a epic human as well. But Ladelia, I just want to talk a little bit through, I bumped into you at the Race Village earlier this week, and just like how you made the decision to make the Mutt Miler a dream. Can you walk us through a little bit of that and just your journey of becoming a mom as well, and like how you managed to toe the start line on Friday at midday?
Yes. So I moved to George in 2018, and obviously Mutt was established a few years before that. So running Mutt for the first time, the 60K in 2021, was absolutely amazing. I upped to the 100 in 2022 and was really excited to do the miler in 2023. But I raced well during the 2022 season, and unfortunately I was diagnosed with a cyst on my ovary in December while I didn't know know I had it when I raced UTCT. It ended into an emergency op that I needed to go to. And I also got married in 2023 and we really wanted a kid between Divan and I. And the doctor said, well, we need to listen to my body and we need to take care of my health. So I was out in 2023. I couldn't run because we were really trying to have a baby. So a few miscarriages later, I got pregnant with my little girl, and last year I actually volunteered and I work here at MAT. And I was standing at the finish line because it's so nice. I could see everyone coming in, and that's how I felt so part of it. And I remember when the milers started coming in, I looked at my coach and I said to him, do you think I would be able to do this next year? And he just looked at me. He's like, hell yes, you can do this. And I'm like, I really, really want to do this.
Wow.
And it was an epic journey. She was 5 weeks old last year with Matt.
Wow.
And we formalized the plan. So it's a year journey. Everything that has happened after May 2024 was a build up for Matt 2025.
That's amazing. Oh, Ladelia, that's so special. And now I'm like, you have Divan and your daughter like waiting for you at the finish line. Yeah. I saw that beautiful video and your good friend Sveta holding her and bringing her to you. I think that must have been quite an emotional finish for you.
Yeah, it's very emotional. I think also what made it more special was that I didn't have a good start yesterday. I actually had made the call Friday morning, 8 o'clock, to run.
Wow.
It still was on and off. I had a tummy bug during the week and we tried to manage it. So with all tummy bugs, the first few hours is very tough to run.
Yeah.
But I managed to pull through.
Wow.
And when I got to Harold, Divan and Clara and my mother-in-law were there, and I just made the... It was like a turning point in my mind.
Wow.
If she's here, 7:30, all dressed up in a comfy PJs and a beanie, I need to finish this for her.
Wow.
And that was really a turning point for me. Yeah, I think if she wouldn't have been there, I might have suffered a little bit more.
Yes.
But yeah, that was a game changer for me.
Yo, Ladelia, and I mean, I saw an epic photo of you coming up the VK, and I think getting to Harold Wine is, I mean, that's 40Ks into your route. It sounds like it's a big kind of like milestone. A lot of the miler athletes have spoken about Harold, and, you know, that's also going into the night for you guys. But kind of take us through, you started off not feeling great, you're kind of checking to see, you got to Harold, you had the turning point. How did it's so hard, it's a long way, but the rest of the route play out? Were you comfortable in the night? Were you running with people?
Yeah, so I think even Divan asked me, he's like, is there something wrong with all the other athletes, or is it just you? So I was extremely cold during the night. And yeah, everyone else seemed to be all right. So I was like dressed up with a beanie, two buffs, gloves, base layer, everything. So the cold got to me. I was really cold during the night. But once I got my rhythm from Harold, it started to go well. I know the route. I did the Harold section to Dikkop a few times in the night.
Yeah.
So I know it at heart. And that's also where I passed the third lady. And I just realized I need to make my gap there. So yeah, steadily build it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think the worst section for me was in Wilderness. I missed the aid station.
Oh, no.
And I ended up running a kilometer. I ended up on the beach and I'm like, it's not here. I need to go back.
I ended up on the beach. Oh my word.
Yeah, I turned around at the beach. And yeah, when I got to Oakers, you've got these mental milestones.
Yeah.
Like one for me was coming down Kierberg. I want to do it still in sunlight. So I was ecstatic that I was able to do it.
Yes.
And the way I was feeling. And the other one was, I want to reach Oakers before the sun is really up.
Yeah.
And I managed to do that. And
great.
I think if you've got certain mental blocks that you can tick, it motivates you internally.
Yes.
And everyone is always, all the milers is complaining about Bergplas. I did that section once and I just decided, this is going to be my best section. And yesterday it was actually a breeze. It's
amazing.
Where I got my, I almost want to say, fourth breath.
Nice.
But yeah, it was really nice.
And Lodilia, I mean, I was standing in the race village yesterday and the announcement came over the intercom. It's like there's been a shift in the women's race in the miler. You've just overtaken the second lady. I think it was 7Ks to go. And I know you, if there was any doubt whether you were well-known and loved in this community, it would have evaporated in that moment because half the race village just started to cheer. And there was a lot of people waiting for you. But kind of take us through that moment. I mean, the strategy of racing in a miler continues to blow my mind because it's just such a long way and there's so many moving pieces. But yeah, can you take us through kind of your thoughts and emotions as that kind of unfolded?
Yeah, so just to say again, I really trained hard, and because the George community, you've experienced it. You know, there's so much support, and I think from a local runner perspective, you really want to make the community proud. We've got this amazing race, and you just want to make them proud. And when the race didn't start too well, I was just like, how am I going to get this back for me, for my family, and for the community?
Yeah.
And so all along, I knew Simone was in front of me.
Yeah.
And I actually wanted to make my break at Craddock Pass, where I felt at my worst on Friday, and she took the break. And I'm like, oh, well, there goes my plan.
Yeah.
And so I know she was in front of me all the time. And from Tierkop, actually at Bergplas, I decided I'm going to push. I'm going to put everything to this to see if I can catch her.
Yeah.
I didn't know how far she was ahead of me, but I just kept pushing. And even at Tierkop, you can look at the trail on the other side of the dam. You can see where the runners are. And I'm like, this is the last 15Ks. I need to really gun it.
Wow.
So when I took a turn and I saw in front of me, I couldn't believe that I actually raced her down.
Yeah.
And that was 7Ks to the finish. And it was like when I passed her, it was like putting into sixth gear. And I was at that point, I just realized this is my motivation. I need it. Yeah, I was ecstatic, over the moon, and running into the stadium and just having a huge group, crowd, people waiting and cheering. It was an emotional moment.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, Lydia, that's amazing. I'm really glad that your kind of the training came together, your dream became a reality. I mean, 1 year ago thinking, could I do it? And not only, you know, finishing, but running such a strong race. And I mean, you look great. And like, I'm sure, like Nicolette said earlier, she's like, there's a way that you feel after a miler. Mm. So whenever people say, how do you feel? She's like, not good, but it's all relative, you know? So I hope that you can continue to rest and recover. And what do the next few weeks look like for you? Are you kind of taking the foot off the gas pedal and just really taking the recovery?
Yeah, I think training for a mile, it does take a lot out of you. Being a full-time working mom, I always joke, I say, when you work for government, that is, especially finance and government, that's like an endurance sport in itself, which you need a medal for. So working full-time, having a family, the training was a lot, and I would like to spend just a Saturday sleeping late, sitting in my PJs, drinking coffee on the floor, just doing normal stuff.
Not having to, tag team parent, I'm going to run. You can just hang with the fam.
Yeah, I think it's just important that although we love it and running is part of us, it doesn't consume us, it doesn't define us.
Yeah.
We also need to take care of the things that's around us.
Yeah, the other things of life to enjoy those. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
And Lodilia, what was your post-race treat? We've had everything ranging from beer to sushi to, I mean, Admire just said, I just want to sleep. That's all I want for my post-race treat. But what was your kind of thing that you were really looking forward to after the run?
An ice cream.
Oh, nice.
My mouth gets so, I almost want to say, irritated with all the this electrolytes you consume, and you try to stick with your nutrition plan, the same things that it kind of go bland.
Yes.
And I said to Divan, I really need the biggest ice cream
I can find.
Was absolutely amazing.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Lodilia, well done. You are an absolute hero. It's so nice to see you here and smiling and healthy. And good luck with the recovery and then what comes next. And I look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thank you so much.
Guys, I'm here with a George local legend and favorite of this community, Tembi. He is a 100-miler hero. For those of you who listened to Admire's story yesterday, he spoke about his friend and how Tembi found him on the course, pointed him in the right direction, and he was a hero to a lot of people in a lot of ways, but he also had his own journey and story unfold on the route. But Tembi, it's nice to see you smiling and in one piece. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm doing good. Yeah, it's just muscle soreness. Otherwise, I feel good.
Nice. Tembi, can you tell us a little bit about what happened out there on the course? I know that you went through a dip and you really managed to rally and come back in a super strong 12th position and even just completing the race after a challenging mic last year. Yeah, take us through a little bit of your journey.
Yeah, I had a moment. I had a slow start on the race. I was taking it easy because I know what happened previously. 2023, I had a DNF in Mutt. So this time around, I just wanted to take off that monkey off my back and finish it as a local. So, yeah, when I reached Tierkop, I was still feeling good. But knowing that I'm going to meet my support at the dam aid station, they call it Dekop.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I got overexcited and I missed my feed. So I didn't eat a lot going into Dekop aid station. When I got there, so I sort of had a challenge of eating. I couldn't eat. So my sugar levels dropped and I was feeling a bit dizzy. So, yeah, the people were very helpful on the aid station, I must say.
Yeah.
They put me in the tent because I was feeling dizzy. So, yeah, they tried to give me some things that can bring me back to life.
Wow.
So, lucky for me, I had a good support crew. My wife was there. A friend of mine, Wanatola from Beaufort West, was also there. Most especially my biokineticist was there, Shanae Botha. I think she was the one who managed to calm me down and help me to regain my full consciousness because I was feeling a bit dizzy. Yeah, she fed me banana bread. I think after an hour and 30 minutes, that's when I managed to come back to life. And yeah, I had to think of, I mean, someone come from Beaufort West, that's like 300 something kilometers or just a little under. And she was also there. She that was like in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
My wife was there. So that gave me strength to continue.
You're running for the people.
I was running for them.
That's amazing, Tembi. And I think, I know we chatted about this earlier, that you experienced kind of this blood sugar dip at a backyard ultra previously. And so not only are you... and that ended kind of in a hospital visit. So you're not just fighting your current state. You've also got that fear of that feeling and sensation. As you kind of felt better and exited the aid station, how did you manage to kind of keep those thoughts and fears at bay?
Yeah, while I was still there, lying in that bed, I heard Thomas Vermaak's voice. So I realized because we had a chat earlier on the race, we had a nice chat just to get to know each other.
Yeah.
So when I heard his voice and he was about to exit the aid station, I said, that is someone who's going to keep me going. So I went with him and I felt a little bit stronger as we were continuing. I think we ran a kilometer with him.
Yes.
And I was feeling stronger again. And I was like, okay, Tommy, I think I'm going to leave you. It's time for me to get going because if I remember correctly, when I arrived on that aid station, I was lying eighth.
Yes.
And I was still feeling good because I knew that it's a long race.
Yeah.
So I take it easy at the beginning and then see what I can do on the second half.
Yeah.
So Tommy said, good luck, my friend. I just want to finish. So enjoy. So after that, I was like Pac-Man.
Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Just that consistency, catching up with the people.
Yes.
Yeah. But Tembi, I mean, you are someone for me, you can pretty much do anything in my mind. I think when I met you, it was you just done the 6x6 peaks and you were getting ready to then go and do the UTCT 100-miler and you were in the Mount Co store and you were like,
on your feet, but you're like, oh, my feet have been like swollen and I'm getting ready for the Milo. And I was like, I can't believe this guy. And actually your amazing discipline of being who you are in terms of the backyard ultra. So kind of just why George Mutt, why this Milo? You know, you're used to kind of a different race strategy. You've done Milos before. What draws you to two such different types of running?
For me, George Mutt is in my backyard. So, and I would like any other local, they would like or love to run the race that is on their backyard. Backyard ultra and 100 mile to me are two long adventures.
Yeah.
That's how I classified them. If you run a backyard, every hour on the hour, you go for 6.8 kilometers.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I run the Mila.
I was going to ask, do you break it up?
Yes.
Yes.
I run it aid station to aid station.
Yeah.
So that's how I associate the two.
Amazing.
So I always have a target time of, I need to be at that aid station at a certain time.
Yeah.
I need to eat, I need to drink, and I need to continue.
Wow. That's actually an amazing for that Milo mentality. Backyard ultra lends itself because it's making sure you keep moving, but keep eating, keep drinking, and just reach the next section.
Yes.
That's amazing. Timby, and I mean, George, like it's the backyard ultra guy running in his backyard. It's really nice to see, and you are well known and loved in this community. And not only did you race this route, you put a lot of effort into getting the route to the state where it is now. I believe you marked about 40 k's of this trail in the lead up to this event.
Yeah, that was one of my long runs I did preparing for Mutt Mila, mostly on your wilderness Bergplas, Oakhurst, on those sections. I was helping out a friend of mine, Jack Mouton.
Yes.
As we know, he's one of the race organizers, mostly on marking trails. So
yeah.
I tied up with him and I told him I'm going to be running on that section.
Yes.
So yeah, he gave me markers to put on.
What section was that, Timmy?
That was from Groenewede aid station.
Yes.
To Wilderness. And Wilderness to Oakhurst.
Wow.
And the biggest section that's on Bergplas to Tirkop.
That everyone talks about that Bergplas section. Everyone's Lodelia Kombering was here earlier. She was like, everyone says it's the worst. She tried to make it the best.
When I got there, I think I got there on the wrong timing. I think it was around 11.
Okay.
And it was hot.
Oh.
It was so hot. I know the area very well, but yesterday it was like I'm new there.
Yes, wow.
Because it's nice contour road going down on the side of the mountain, but it's so rocky in a way that, and you don't want to get hit there.
Yeah.
You really don't want to get hit there because it's so remote and help will arrive after a very long time.
Wow.
So I was like, I'm not going to act stupid here. I need to be very careful.
Yes.
So I was cautious and I got through.
That's amazing. No, and I mean, you must know that 40K section so well. You've marked it. You know what to expect. And for you to say you felt like a guest there, it's like, it just shows the conditions on the day can change your whole experience of the race.
Yes, it can change. And if you panic, I mean, you're really going to lose it. So I try to be calm and just flow nicely on the trail and be careful of the big rocks because some of the rocks are under the grass.
Yes.
You can't really see that there's a big rock there. You might step
and slip,
sprain your ankle.
Oh my word. And Timmy, I mean, you managed to rally. You ran into a very strong 12th position. I'm sure you're super proud of your run. I'm excited for you to reflect and be stoked with it. I'm sure the whole community is celebrating with you. But are you racing some more backyard ultras this year? What's kind of next on the cards? I feel like you've done so much. I'm like, what challenge do you have in your mind that's brewing?
Yeah, planning to run one backyard later in the year. I must just confirm the date. I'm not sure about the date. Only one backyard this year. Yeah.
Okay.
still confirming the date and you'll figure it out. But for now, you get to sleep and eat and rest.
Yes, I need to eat, especially eating. I'm not good on eating at all.
And Timmy, are you back at work tomorrow?
Tomorrow, I'll be back at work on Wednesday.
On Wednesday, okay. Yes. So you've got some time. I always wondered, I was like, how long do the Milo athletes just go straight back to work? I'm like, how do they do it? But I mean, it sounds like you guys can do anything.
Yeah, I put on leave. Otherwise, I was gone. I have to be at work.
Timmy, congrats. Well done on rallying. I'm really glad that you managed to make it through that dark patch. And now that's another kind of tool in your toolbox. You know how to bring yourself out of that place. And it's just really nice to see a local who has put so much effort into this event be able to complete the big loop himself. So big congratulations. And I'm excited to see where you end up next.
Thank you, Emily. And special thanks to my community because they always support me. They're always there for me.
Yeah.
To my wife as well, for her kids. So thank you to them as well because they are my support system. A friend of mine from Beaufort West, I thank her as well.
Yeah.
She's also part of this and my biokineticist.
Yeah.
And my physio was on the finish line as well.
That's so cool.
So it was very special for me. I mean, I got so much support.
Everyone wants to see you succeed.
Yes. Yeah. And thank you for the nice podcast as well. I always listen to it every time.
I'm so glad. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Emily.